Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before we begin, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which I am broadcasting from today. I'd also like to acknowledge the lands on which you are taking this broadcast from today across this beautiful nation. I'd also like to acknowledge elders past and present, and thank you all for joining us today, this Friday, for Let's Talk. We are heading into the end of November, which means that Movember, the initiative to bring forward and bring attention to issues around prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and men's mental health, including suicide, it comes to an end. Now, during this program, we will be talking about things that may bring up certain things for you. So I do urge you, if this does trigger anything, this is a trigger warning, please do call 131114, but just be mindful to reach out to your local Aboriginal Medical Service. Make those phone calls if you need. Reach out to people who you know and trust. And this is an important topic. It needs to be brought to the forefront because it's something that impacts Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders right across the country at an alarming, disproportionate rate, and that is, of course, suicide. Again, if you are triggered by this, if this is a topic that is triggering for you, you can call 131114. That's Lifeline. Give it a go. Give them a call. Don't be shame. Get on there. And for us today, I think it's really important that we bring that to the forefront because, as mentioned, it is something that impacts mob at such a high rate. To kick us off this morning, we're going to be listening to a little bit of King Stingray. And when we get back, you're going to hear from Uncle Charlie Gia, who was on at the beginning of the month to talk about men's mental health and to talk about his experience with cancer and his really big goal of making and hitting the $20,000 mark. He's $500 off for the last 5 years. He's been raising this money. He's been doing an amazing job. But we are right behind him, and I am encouraging everyone, grab your pen and paper out to jot down where you can donate money so that we can get Uncle Charlie across the line here on 98.9 FM's Let's Talk. And, of course, it is November, so all month we've been speaking Movember. If you want to jump on and support Movember for us, come on and support Team Beamer at www.movember.com.au. But there's another guy that I want you guys to support because this person has been part of the Movember movement for a very, very long time. And I don't just want to talk to him about Movember. I also want to talk to him about White Ribbon Day because that today is marks White Ribbon Day. This morning I went to a breakfast here in Brisbane with a number of different people who were talking about domestic violence and addressing issues around domestic violence. And I want to talk to Uncle Charlie about what he thinks as a man, as a black man, you know, what Aboriginal men can do to support women and to support men who are impacted by violence perpetrated by men. Good morning, Uncle Charlie.
Yeah, good morning, Karina. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thanks.
Now, before we kick things off, I'd like to get you to tell us who your mob is and where you're from.
Okay, I'm from up in Cairns, so I'm a Yidinji man. My mum's from that country up there, Yidinji, and dad's from the Torres Straits, from Bardi Wylam, so the Bardigal people.
Now, Uncle Charlie, you have been, I actually yesterday went for a visit to go see the Minister Leanne Enoch at 1 William Street. And when I walked through the foyer, I saw this big, massive picture of a familiar face, and it was yours, the grey one. And you were representing yourself for Movember. Now, for those that don't know about your story, can you give us a little bit of a background about how you started with Movember and what got you motivated to continue on?
Oh, look, I think it was probably 12 years ago now. I've been doing this for 12 years. So when I joined, prior to that, I was sort of you know, had a lot of family dying. I mean, a lot of our men in particular, my uncles, my dad, and my grandfather. And I wanted to know what, you know, what was going on, and that they died too young. And I wanted to do something about that. So I kind of did a bit of research to find out what were the cause of death. And I found that some of these deaths were, you know, preventable. You know, if they went to see a doctor or talk to someone about it, that type of stuff. So, and then, you know, by chance, I think Movember sort of popped up in front of me, and I did some research on who they are and what they do. And I guess it's my, you know, charity of choice, I suppose, now. It's, you know, they have a good mantra in terms of what they're trying to do in terms of changing, you know, making sure, you know, men live happier, healthier lives. And so I jumped on board, like, 12 years ago. So, like any of us, you know, we do things, the reasons we do things is generally personal and you know, has to do with family and friends. So, yeah, that kind of got me into it, I suppose, Karina.
And earlier in the month, we of course spoke to you about your experience with cancer, and you had experienced that about 5 years ago, was it?
Yeah, about 5 years ago, prostate cancer. Luckily, I went to a it was a bit of luck actually, because I went to an Aboriginal medical service, Yulieburrabar over in Wynnum.
To shout get out a to checkup. Those mob, they do a deadly
yeah, big
job
shout
over
out
there.
To them. Yeah, yeah, and the young fellow that was doing my triage was a nephew of mine, so he asked me what I wanted to get done today, and I said, in terms of bloods, I said, let's do the lot, not knowing that the lot meant, you know, a blood test for cancer. So, yeah, it came back that there was some abnormalities there, and I needed to go back to see the doctor. So basically, yeah, 5 years ago, I got diagnosed with prostate cancer, then underwent, well, you know, kind of stuff. When you hear the word cancer, everyone panics, you know, especially if it's got to do with you or your friend or your family member. And, you know, you go through, first of all, I suppose, a bit of trauma, then some anxiety, then, you know, some depression. So it's really important that, you know, when we talk about men's health, that we also talk about how do we, you know, families, how do they support someone, you know, going through this sort of stuff. So, you know, it's not just men's health, it's family health, I think. And, you know, without my family around me supporting me, I guess I would have probably not done so well, you know?
Now, just to give a little bit of background on suicide, and again, if this is something that brings something up for you, please contact your local Aboriginal medical service, you know, like Uncle Charlie did, like I do, and talk to them about how you can get help as far as the mental health plan is concerned. I'm on a mental health plan. I'm not ashamed to say so. And I think it's incredibly important. It's kind of like it's something that I feel like your mental health needs to be taken care of all the time. But just to give you some idea around the impacts of suicide on Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, this is something that's only really emerged since colonisation. It's not something that really existed prior to, and we spoke to someone last week who mentioned that, Joe Williams, actually, and if you want to catch that podcast, you can do so on 989fm.com.au, but he spoke about the word suicide not actually existing in the vocabulary, in the languages of so many people right across Australia. Now, you know, I don't know if that's completely true, but I think I've seen research around the fact that suicide was not something that was evident pre-colonisation, Uncle Charlie. But sadly now it accounts for 6% of all deaths in Indigenous people, compared to 2% of non-Indigenous Australia. It's the second leading cause of death for Indigenous males, and it is the seventh leading cause of death for Indigenous females. It is the leading cause of death for Indigenous people aged 15 to 35, and the suicide death rate is three times higher for Indigenous people. Now, it's important that we understand that these numbers, you know, they are dire, and it is progressively gotten worse, sadly, Uncle Charlie.
I think the good thing about it, Katrina, there is organisations, you know, our Aboriginal medical services and the likes of our pig bodies. You've got Quake here in Queensland, of course. You've got, you know, IUE as well, who provide services to a lot of people around especially obviously our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities around this stuff. And we're seeing a little bit of an increase in men, you know, stepping forward as far as wanting to speak with someone about their particular, you know, health struggle, I suppose.
Mm.
So it's starting to change. And I think that, you know, if we don't talk about it as men, in particular elderly men and, you know, fathers and uncles and stuff, we don't give, you know, we don't give the okay for young men to talk about it. So they follow what we do. You know what I mean?
Mm.
So we really got to step up in terms of, you know, being that role model for our young men. You know, if we're, you know, shedding a tear or, you know, seeking help or crying out for help, I think it just opens that door for younger people to do the same thing. You know, they want to be like you. And so I think that as far as, you know, those stats are concerned, very concerning, we're dying too young. We are dying too young. And so for me, it's about, you know, showing my sons and those young guys that hang around and, you know, that know me, it's okay to talk to someone. It's okay to ask for help. And it certainly is okay to go to an Aboriginal medical service to, you know, to see someone about that. So,
with the work that you've done with Movember, promoting the importance of talking to prevent suicide, and your roles and positions in leadership in the community and also in the work that you do, you know, building leaders in the community, what do you think needs to happen to bring down that rate?
Oh, look, it's all about talking about stuff. You know, you mentioned, and, you know, I mentioned earlier that with prostate cancer, the way I dealt with it is talking about it. You know, I raised awareness that we all need to go and get a health check once we turn, you know, 45, 50. We need to ask for a PSA blood test to see...
PSA blood test.
PSA, that's the blood test that sort of measures any cancer around the prostate.
Mm-mm.
So it's important that you ask for that if you're around that age group between 45 and 50. And it's that kind of thing, you know. It's about talking about stuff like that, but also around, you know, anger management, for instance, mental health stuff, depression, trauma. We all need to talk to someone about that. Now, you know, I don't mean go and talk to the whole world about this, but find someone that you might know or someone that you might not know who, you know, is willing to listen. And I think that's the big thing, is we all need to be able to listen, be present and listen to what's happening. And
and even find, you know, kind of your way of talking about it. I mean, if you want to talk to the whole world about it, go for it. But if you want to talk, you know, behind closed doors, or you want to be able to find the right person. I know I've called some of those helplines that are about, and I know that sometimes, you know, I might not gel with the person on the other end of the line, but I just respectfully say, oh, look, I've really got to go, and then ring back again and give it another crack. I've had counsellors, and it's the same thing. It's not always going to be amazing the first time. If it is, fantastic, wonderful, continue on. But just knowing that when you step into that space and you are vulnerable, that there is a possibility that you may not gel with that particular person, and being aware of that as well, Uncle Charlie.
Yeah, that's right. And Katrina, on the other side of that as well, if you see a family member or a friend who has been quiet and bit, you know, isolated and acting not normal, don't be afraid to reach out to them as well, you know. Just, you know, family ear is always good for someone to offload, you know, what they're going through. And that's a difficult thing to do as well, you know, be the person that reaches out to someone that's suffering from, you know, a mental illness, I guess, and who's struggling with life at that particular time. It's a hard thing to do, but I think that, you know, it's all about listening, I guess. And when you're listening, you're not saying the wrong things.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I do just want to pull you up on one thing, Uncle Charlie. I don't often do this, but before you said that it was a bit of a matter of luck when it came to you being able to find out about your prostate cancer. But I don't know. I think that it actually does take a little bit of stepping up and going, all right, well, I just need to book an appointment. You know, I need to get in there and I need to go, how's my prostate? You know, check me for testicular cancer, and check my mental health. There needs to be some degree of agency there. It's not just a matter of luck, you know.
I think so, yeah. You know, like I mentioned, 12 years ago I joined Movember. I found out, you know, why my elders were passing away, and that's probably when that was the first time that I said, I better go and get my health check. So after 12 years, it's easy for me to do now. I just go and get it, book it, and it's a regular thing, you know, and it's all part of my life. But prior to that, you know, I certainly was, you know, a bit stressed about going to see a doctor, finding out things that maybe I didn't want to hear about, you know.
And that prevention stuff is so key, Uncle Charlie. Now, I want to shift the conversation. If you've just joined us here on Let's Talk this morning with me, Karina Hogan, I am speaking with Uncle Charlie Gia, who is a massive advocate in the space of Movember, which talks about bringing forward the issues of suicide prevention, testicular and prostate cancer particularly. Uncle Charlie, I went to a breakfast this morning for White Ribbon Day. I went along with the local Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Community Health Service. And the purpose of White Ribbon Day, or the focus of White Ribbon Day, is about the action that men can take to end men's violence against women. Now, when I think about mental health and I think about violence and I think about all those things, that I feel like there is a massive overlap when it comes to violence against women. Now, for me, I've experienced domestic violence, and I have at times been vocal about it. It's still something that I'm working through. But, you know, I mentioned this morning on my Twitter page how important Beau, particularly Beau Spearham, was in my journey working through domestic, being in a really violent relationship, and when that came to an end, and the support that I got from my brother Beau and his family and his partner, and just how incredibly important his non-judgment was, his openness to speaking to me about, you know, what was going on in my life at the time. And I just think that his role as a black man, who didn't ask for this to be delivered to his workplace every morning, but it was, and was so incredibly important. Now, for you as an Aboriginal man, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander man, I should say, how important is it that you stand up and speak about the issue of violence against women?
Oh, look, it's very important, Karina. It's, you know, this is like another pandemic, really. It's happening a lot around the country. It's not just Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men as well. It's men in general, you know, and I think that, you know, it's important that, one, I suppose, we don't see it happen. We don't sit by and watch it happen. We can do that by, changing the way we deal with things that are happening around us, especially in relationships with women and other people. Really, it's about changing our own attitudes. So I mentioned to you earlier about the mental health stuff and how our leaders, our men, our elders need to, you know, become that leader in terms of, emotional stuff, crying out for help, asking for help, or offering help, that type of stuff. We need to change that because, as I mentioned, our young men, our young people are looking at us and watching and copying what we're doing. If we're not doing that, then they're not going to do it, and, they're going to be suffering from mental health issues. So the same goes in this space. Really, it's I don't think you can separate the spaces, really.
Yeah,
I think it's all about, you know, being a human, I guess, and certainly being a male is really important that we look inside ourselves to see and have a think about, you know, how you treat women, how you speak about women, how you interact with women. It's really important that we change ourselves first.
Mm.
We try to improve ourselves. I wouldn't say change, but try to improve the way we communicate, the way we react. It's that reaction that's really important. But also, if you're rolling on from there, I suppose it's about how do we prevent this stuff happening around us, you know, with our families.
And how do we have healthy relationships, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and
and identifying a healthy relationship. Like if you're listening now, like I remember, you know, one of my my counsellor's mentioning to me, and this is something that worked for me, but list five people around you that are really close to you and list what what positive things that they give you when you are interacting with them and what negative, like really down to the basics of the negative feelings that you may feel with certain people. And then once you start identifying that, then you label it and then you have like a basis to start from, right? So then you can go, okay, well, I've identified that, you know, him making or, you know, a friend making comments about my weight or whatever, that's not a positive thing. And then you start to, when it comes up, it doesn't just kind of slip into the subconscious. And then you start to allow for and not allow for certain things in your life, right?
Yeah, that's right. It's, I think that's important. It's also very important to be supportive of the woman in the situation. Like Bo did when, you know, I guess you were going through that, Karina, and it's just an ear to sort of, you know, to listen to speak to, I suppose, someone that, as you mentioned, you know, is supportive, understands, non-judgmental, you know, making sure that you're okay. It's important that we understand that, you know, the victim in this whole situation, the person that's, you know, at the end of this possible, you know, the violence or the abuse or whatever it might be, needs support and certainly needs to know that they're not the problem. You know, everything that's been told to them, everything that they, you know, that they believe, is it sometimes it's like, you know, and I'm not sure, Corinne, about yourself, but, you know, you take the blame for this and it's not your fault. It's not your problem.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's a like, whole gamut of things, I think. And, you know, especially because it was over such a long period of time, you know, you begin to learn certain behaviours or do certain things to cover things up, and the behaviour is quite coercive. That's something that was very common for me, but I think is common for a lot of people. You know, when you look at some of the reports and and when I listen to other women speak about things, it can be quite coercive. But if we learn to call those things out, you know, and if you as a male have made that mistake, standing up and going, you know what, I can identify that my behaviour there is not the right kind of behaviour towards a woman or towards a man. And this is what I need to do to change it. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of courage. It takes bravery. But, I think that it's something that's important to speak about and to act on now. And Uncle Charlie, those things that you do on Facebook, your Facebook Lives, which I'd like to get you to tell people where they can find you, I think are incredibly important, because what it is a conversation, and sometimes I'll just log on and have a listen. And purely because I'm raising a young Indigenous boy, but also because I love seeing strong black men who have been through issues around their mental health, around testicular or prostate cancer, around domestic violence, coming together and actually speaking about it. To me, that's strength.
Yeah, definitely. Look, welcome anyone. We're usually on a Monday night about 5:30. It's called JB and CJ checking in.
JB and CJ?
Yeah, JB and CJ checking in on Facebook. So, do a bit of a search there and join us on a Monday night. We talk about a whole range of things. We talk with people from all around the country and also overseas. About how they go and what they're doing, and most of the time we find that they're doing some great things in community and doing some great things with their lives, you know, and so inspiring to hear that, especially from people we don't know about. We don't see them in the headlines. We don't see them, you know, anywhere. They're just local people, so it's really important that we give them a bit of a voice. And you know, it's all about reaffirming that they're doing a great job as well, and you know, that they're loved and you know, and they're respected in their own community, with their own, you know, with their families and stuff. So very strong messages there, I guess, in terms of, you know, what people are doing. We don't only just talk to men, we talk to women as well. Of course, you know, we get our sisters on and they tell us what fantastic stuff they're doing. Join us on a Monday night at 5:30. But this, you know, this topic is probably pretty, you know, topical. We won't have a chat about this on Monday night as well.
I'll be definitely tuning in on that one, Uncle.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's, you know, I think that we need as people, as men in particular, if we're seeing something happening or just about to happen, you know, call it out, you know, interrupt, grab your mate, whoever it is, and take them for a walk, have a chat to them, you know, and let's not get to the point where it's full on, you know, domestic violence. If we can see that's happening, even if they're, you know, having a, you're out and, you can see that your old mate's a bit agitated and then he was going home. After that, he might have had a couple of drinks. You know, have a chat to him before he gets home, you know, before he even leaves. Just remind him that, you know, this sort of stuff isn't on, especially domestic violence. I think it's important that, like anything, this is health-related, so anything health-related, early detection or intervention is important. You know, we don't want it to go get blown out, you know what I mean, and someone getting hurt or even worse, someone's life is at risk. So, you know, we need to jump in, call it out, you know, take the victim away, take the woman away or jump in and confront the man. It just slows things down a bit. It protects the person that's, you know, who is the victim, who is the centre of the abuse, you know. So I think it's important. Look, yeah, if you're feeling that way as well, guys, can I just big shout out to the men out there. Look, go to the Aboriginal Medical Service. Katrina will probably leave some numbers on the feed here. If you need help, certainly give them a call. Have a chat to someone about it. And because it's, you know, normally, usually, and I must say 100%, you know, you're in love with that person and that person loves you back, and it's not good when you, you know, when you're fighting, I suppose.
Absolutely. I think it's really important to be reaching out to your local Aboriginal Medical Service. You can also call 1-800-RESPECT if you would like to talk to them about issues around domestic violence, or you can call the Lifeline Service on 13114. Cannot emphasise enough how important my local Aboriginal Medical Service has been for me, and Uncle Charlie for you as well. If you jump onto Google, you can type in JB and CJ checking in, and it comes up as one of the first choices there where you can check in every Monday night. And also, and most importantly, you have almost reached that $20,000 mark. It's taken 5 years, but we have $500 to go. So every single person that's listening, every single person, please jump online, look for the grey one online. So just type in the grey one and Movember, and it comes up as your first option. Donate $5 if you can. Donate $20, $50, whatever. I'll be donating today. Because I think the work that you're doing, Uncle Charlie, is incredible. I love following you. You make me smile. You give me hope for my young boy and my girl. And I just think I'm right behind you here, cheering you on.
Yeah, look, I had a bit of a, you know, what do you call it, moment there yesterday, I guess, and I was thinking about this, and I wanted to thank people for, you know, getting involved and, you know, contributing and listening and you know, raising awareness, all that type of stuff. But I realised that, you know, everyone that's donated, everyone that I've had a yarn with, they're all part of a community. And I think this is, you know, you can say, yeah, the grey one did this, the grey one did that, but I think it's actually that whole community that did this. It's not necessarily that one person. And really, if you're part of that community that's already, you know, have a relationship with me and what I do, then fantastic. I just need to big shout out to those people. Congratulate you for what you've done. And I think sometimes we don't think about it. Just becomes natural that, oh yeah, I'm going to, you know, donate some money to the Movember Foundation for Charlie or the grey one. But listen, you're doing something fantastic, and you know, there are probably a lot of men that are really grateful for what you've done. There are a lot of families that are really grateful for what you've done. You know, the wives, the girlfriends, the sons and daughters and the mums and dads, very grateful for that donation, because it actually helped to improve the life of a lot of people, not just the men, but for a lot of people.
A beautiful way to end our Movember month, Uncle Charlie. Thank you so much for joining me here on 98.9 FM. The grey one, jump onto movember.com.au, movember.com, and then go into the search engine, type in the grey one, and then you'll see Uncle Charlie Gia or Team Gia Family, and it says right there, donate to me. So please, everybody that's listening, jump on, donate your $5, $10, $20, or the $500. Let's get it over the line. and again, yeah, no. Thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Karina.
And that was Uncle Charlie Gia, who's doing some incredible work as far as Movember is concerned, but also in the leadership space and also just as a strong leader in the sector. He is a proud Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander man and just doing incredible things. Jump onto Facebook and look for him. After the break, we are going to be talking to someone from the LGBTQIA plus community, someone who I'm going to speak to about mental health, who has been working in the space, who is a fierce advocate and a dear friend of mine. His name is Clay. His name is Taz Clay, and he'll be joining us just after Mataja here on 98.9 FM's Let's Talk. And we are talking Movember today. We're wrapping up Movember, and it's been an incredible month, a month to talk about the importance of bringing attention to suicide for men and also prostate and testicular cancer. That's the focus for Movember, but we've kind of stretched it out a little bit because today is also White Ribbon Day, and Uncle Charlie gave some amazing insight into what he thought as an Aboriginal man, the role that blackfellas can play when it comes to addressing issues around domestic violence. It's been an incredible month. And if you want to donate to us, you can go to Movember.com to the homepage there and you can search for the grey one because we want to get Uncle Charlie past that $20,000 mark over the 5 years. He's been doing it for quite a while now, but it'll be $20,000. So please get on there, $5, $10, $15, the grey one. Or you can jump onto our page and donate to Team Beamer. That's Team BIMA, Brisbane Indigenous Media Association, also known as, and just donate because we really, want to be bringing attention to these important issues for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander men. And for the last bit of our show today, we're going to be speaking with someone who I think is an incredible advocate in the space of mental health, especially in the LGBTQIA plus space. And that's Taz Clay. Good morning, Taz. How are you?
Yeah, good, Karina. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm great. It's been quite an important conversation that we've been having here today about Movember. And again, I just want to remind listeners that if this has triggered anything for you, you can call 1-3-11-14. But Taz, I've got you on today because you do some incredible work in the space of mental health. But before we begin, I'd like you to tell us who your mob is and where you're from.
Yeah, my name's Taz Clay. I'm from Mount Isa Palm Island Way, Balcarine and Bulgerman, and I'm currently living on Bundjalung Country.
Now, you work in a space that advocates for better mental health for mob. Tell us what it is that you do.
Yeah, so it all kind of started off when I was 17, I was highly involved with Headspace Townsville at that point. And from there, you know, I was given a platform at Headspace National to start talking about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander issues, LGBTI issues. But I think it became quite a nuanced sort of area because, you know, like the rates between the LGBTI community and the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community, combine those together and the risk factors double.
Mm.
And that's something that I saw and it needed to change and there needed to be conversations had.
Mm.
So that's what I but do.
Yeah. Now, Taz, as a 17-year-old young boy, you actually were part of a documentary or created a documentary and you spoke about your experience of as a young Indigenous brother boy and your difficult journey affirming your own gender and the importance about speaking about that and speaking about gender identity. Now, let's skip forward to where you are now. How is your journey as far as, you know, affirming your gender and being a young Indigenous brother boy? You're still a young Indigenous brother boy.
Yeah. Look, it's been amazing. You know, and where I work at the moment, work a lot with trans and gender diverse people at ACON, at TransHub. And with that, you know, we fully recognise, you know, all the sort of factors do that. And so, yeah, we just, you know, it needed to happen. We've been able to create a toolkit and workshops that, you know, really sort of bring those hard conversations for people that, you know, have a lot more on their plate, you know, with things like transitioning and, you know, trying to find where they sit with their mother and that. You know, it's sort of like a never-ending sort of stream of things, but if we can make that journey, you know, a lot more, I guess, mapped out by the person that journey it is, which is what we've done, you know, over 4 weeks we've seen, you know, connection and sense of identity and just pride in themselves. And, yeah, it's been amazing to see, just in general.
And you're an unrelenting activist for sister girls and brother boys suicide prevention. And also you are an advocate for those particular people going through the child protection system as well. Can you tell me what you think are key and important things for people to understand as far as, you know, being an activist for our sister girls and brother boys and changing the trajectory for what is quite dire statistics?
Yeah. So, you know, Palm Island now has an LGBTI portfolio with the council. And that's the first one that I've ever heard of in terms of, like, communities and, you know, mob really embracing it. Not it, but, you know, LGBTI people and, you know, I guess everything that comes with it, you know, the fight for equality still past, you know, like, being seen as a black follower. But yeah, just, you know, the rates of violence towards queer trans women of colour, you know, just it's unbelievable the amount of violence that, you know, the people, the sister girls and brother boys face.
Let's talk about that. It's White Ribbon Day today, a day for men and boys to stand up against violence against women and men from men. What do you say to that? Where do you stand?
I stand on the fact that, you know, no man, like, no one should ever hit anyone, but the fact that, you know, man feels that he has the right to do that, or a boy, you know, that's deeply rooted in something that, you know, they might not want to change yet, but, you know, when I think about men and, like, how communities are and all that sort of stuff, I see the non-Indigenous world, you know, like, they, their social structures are based around violence.
Around violence,
you know, they got to take something's theirs, like, they have the ownership over everything, and anyone else that, you know, tries to fight that, just deal with it, whereas, you know, like, Mob's always been about community, helping each other out.
I love that, Taz. I sat in a breakfast this morning and I was probably a little bit disappointed at the White Ribbon Breakfast about the overemphasis on the carceral system, which to me is an absolutely violent, fundamentally violent system. The emphasis put on how there was a belief that that system of violence could fix an issue of violence. I just don't see that kind of working. Well, we can see that it's not working, right? I mean, domestic violence has continued to increase every single year. They mentioned it this morning by 11%. It's increasing. 120,000 calls to Queensland Police every year. To me, I just don't know about using violence to solve violence.
it never will, you know. And I don't understand where people get this idea. If you have a punitive measure by, you know, putting someone in a small room, taking away all their privileges. I don't see how that's going to fix anything. Like, you know, the prison system over in, I think it's the Netherlands or someplace like that, you know, their prisons are like a farm where they have Xbox, you know, they have all their privileges to some degree, except for their real contact with the outside world, like, with other people. But, you know, they've recognised that people need help with this. It's not just like, you know, here's your sentence, enjoy. And then when you get out, we haven't taught you anything. We've made you more angry. And, you know, unresolved and repressed anger, you know, it's all grief and sadness. But, you know, those things, if they're not managed and they're not supported, like the sadness and the grief does turn to anger. And, you know,
and if we don't learn to heal as individuals and as a community and as a nation, you know, moving to moving. If you've just joined us here at 989FM's Let's Talk, we're heading towards the end of the program. But I'm chatting with Taz Clay, who's a proud Kalkadoon and Boogerman man from the LGBTQI plus community. And he's spoken about his journey of transitioning and what that is like. Tell me, Taz, moving forward, there are so many amazing things happening in the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community, so many things to be proud of, so many things that despite, you know, the difficulties and sometimes the challenges that, that mob are faced with, we're continuing on. We're still here. We're still relevant, you know. What do you see happening as far as for you as a trans man and for others coming in your or coming behind you? I know as a child it was difficult for you coming out. You were kicked out of home and you struggled with the judgment and the difficulties there. What do you hope to see for the generation coming up, and are you optimistic? Are you a bit pessimistic? What are your feelings?
I'm really optimistic. You know, I hadn't worked in the sector for about a year and a half, 2 years. And when I came back, the conversations that were being had, you know, like the conversations that I was trying to have, they were coming out as actions and things like that. So, yeah, that's been amazing to see. But, you know, at the end of the day, like everyone needs love. You know, and if your intention is to hurt someone with your love, like you need to go talk to a therapist. Obviously, there's no shame in that, because like,
and you can do that by reaching out to your local Aboriginal Medical Service. You can call 1-800 Respect. You can call 131114, which is Lifeline. You can also reach out to Beyond Blue. You can reach out to Headspace. Where else would you suggest that people go if they are struggling with, you know, perpetrating violence even?
Yeah. Look, that, like, I personally would confide in someone that, you know, like a, maybe like an uncle or brother or, you know, someone that I really trusted. So I guess, you know, like, if I was ever in a circumstance, which I promise I won't ever be like, that's not something that I'm ever going to be like, but, you know, to be able to, like, talk out those things that are making you angry, like, you have to do it. You need
that release. Well, Taz, I think the work that you're doing, especially for ACON, the health promotion stuff that you are doing, you've been delivering resilience training that's been funded through the New South Wales Health Suicide Prevention, and the conversations that you're having in your local community, which I've heard firsthand. I've seen you, you know, just do your thing. I am incredibly proud of you. I call you a friend, and you and your gorgeous sister, friends, and I admire the work that you're doing, and just keep on keeping on.
Yes. No, thanks, Karina. Thanks for having me on the radio too this morning.
No worries. It's been my pleasure and my privilege to have you here on 98.9 FM's Let's Talk. And that was Taz Clay. He's a Kalkadoon and Boogerman man working for ACON doing trans health promotion. But also speaking about Movember, because it's wrapping up. It's our last chat. But it's not going to be the last time that we speak about mental health. It's something that affects our mob at a disproportionate rate, and it's something we've got to continue to talk about. Jump onto movember.com.au and donate to the grey one or to Team Beamer. It's been an absolute pleasure having you. If you've enjoyed the program, you can tune in again tonight at 7 p.m. for the repeat, or you can upload the show a little bit later on in the day by going to 98.9fm.com.au.